Shun was a native of Jilin, Lucky Grove Province in China, and made his home in the city of Harbin. His surname was Yao, and he was a farmer by occupation. His good roots from lives past led him to realize that the world was full of trials and sufferings. His sensitivity to the evils that filled the world gave him the wish to leave the home life. To realize this wish, he traveled about to seek wise teachers. One day, during the Japanese occupation of Manchuria, a patrol of Japanese soldiers found him, mistook him for a vagrant, and ordered him to work in the countryside. He was sent to the Lee River Forced Labor Camp. Imprisoned there, his only wish was to escape, but he never got a chance. An electrified fence encircled the camp, and any person who attempted to escape was either shot to death by the guards or was savagely attacked by killer dogs that patrolled the perimeters. Even if by sheer luck one escaped the sentries and the watchdogs, there was still the electric fence that killed anyone who touched it. The camp was a small hell on earth, dreadful to the extreme. One night while sleeping, Guo Xun dreamed of a long-bearded old man who told him, "Tonight is your chance to escape this cage. There's a white dog outside the door. Follow him and run away." Startled awake, Guo Xun tiptoed to the doorway and sure enough saw a white dog waiting for him just outside. He walked behind the dog safely past the electrified fence and made it all the way home without difficulty. Snatched from the jaws of death, he saw through the illusion of the material world and deeply resolved to leave the home life to cultivate the way. In the winter of 1944, I went to the village of Da Nan Go, Big Southern Ditch, to cure Upasaka Gao's mother's illness. The following morning, news of the woman's miraculous recovery spread throughout the village. When the story reached Guo Xun, he came to ask me to be his teacher. He knelt down and did not rise. Seeing his sincerity, I permitted him to leave home, thus fulfilling his wish. I gave him these instructions. "It is not easy to cultivate at home, and to cultivate as a left-home person is harder still." It said that, "Before the great matter is clear to you, you feel as if you have lost your parents. After you understand the great matter, you feel even more as if you have lost your parents." Cultivators must endure what other people cannot endure. They must take on what others cannot take on. They must eat what others are unable to eat, and wear what others are unable to wear. The Shramana's duty is to diligently cultivate precepts, concentration, and wisdom, and to put an end to greed, hatred, and stupidity. In every moment, do not forget the sufferings of birth and death. In every thought, yearn to escape the wheel of transmigration. Obliterate empty space and understand the Buddha nature. Cast off the entire substance and see the original source. I gave him further instructions. "We are now in the age of the Dharma's decline. Although there are still many people who leave home, those who actually cultivate the way are very few. People who believe in the Buddha are many, but very few actually become Buddhas. Since you have now made a decision to leave home, you must make the resolve for Bodhi. Be like a bright candle in a strong gale. Be like refined gold in a smelting furnace. Do not fail your initial inspiration to leave home. Work hard and take care." Guo Xun bowed to me and then followed me to San Yuan, Three Conditions, Monastery to receive the Shramanera, Novice, Precepts. I gave him the Dharma name of Guo Xun. After he became a monk, he made courageous, vigorous progress. He held the precepts strictly and was never remiss or lazy. He concentrated his mind in meditation practice. Every time he entered samadhi, he would sit for an entire day and night. While in that state of concentration, he could know the causes and results of all things in the past, the present, and the future. His state was inconceivable. In 1945, Guoxun built a cottage to the left of Dragon King Temple, below West Mountain, near Danango Village, in order to cultivate in seclusion. I took disciples Guo Nang, Guo Zuo, Guo Jir, and others to inaugurate the temple on the opening day. On that very night, 10 dragon spirits came to me seeking to become refuge disciples. I told them, "You all have the duty of bringing rain and receiving people's offerings. There is an unseasonal drought here now. Why hasn't it rained for so long?" The dragon spirits answered in unison, "Unless the Jade Emperor gives us the order, we little spirits don't dare to randomly make the rain fall." I said to them, "Relay my request for rain tomorrow to Jade Emperor. Then I'll let you take refuge." The next day, as it turned out, there was a rainstorm, and the drought came to an end, which set the local farmers dancing for joy. They celebrated with songs and festivities to thank the spirits for their kindness, and everyone was quite happy about the whole thing. These were the circumstances that commemorated the events surrounding the dedication of Guoxun's cottage, which was thereupon named Dragon Rain Cottage. 3 people lived and cultivated there, all of whom were neighbors from the same town. 2 laymen, Mr. Liu and Mr. Yang, did morning and evening ceremonies with Guoxun, and they recited the Great Compassion Mantra as their primary method of cultivation. Layman Liu later left home to join the Sangha, and Layman Yang was drafted into the 8th Rote Army. After becoming a soldier, he regularly sent letters home, but one day the letters suddenly stopped. Much to the anxiety of the entire family, they assumed right away that their boy was no longer alive. One afternoon in 1948, Guoxun and Mr. Gao were reciting the Great Compassion Mantra in the hut when they heard a knock on the door. They opened it to find that Mr. Yang had returned. He walked in without saying a word and continued on to the back of the building. Guoxun continued to recite the Great Compassion Mantra until the end of the hour. Then he went to the room at the back to see Mr. Yang, to ask him where he had been during the last 2 years. When he entered the room, he saw a fox that shook its tail and ran out. Since Guoxun recited the Great Compassion Mantra and led a life of virtue, the fox had no way to disturb his mind and could only revert to its true identity. They surmised that Mr. Yang had been killed on the battlefield and his brain had been eaten by a fox. That animal later came to their cottage to make mischief disguised as Mr. Yang. The fox spirit didn't expect that Guoxun's samadhi strength was already unmoving and that he could not be overpowered by the deviant magic. The fox spirit met its match and ran away in defeat. This story illustrates that cultivators must face all kinds of tests and take care not to be moved by circumstances. On the 15th of the 7th lunar month in 1945, the day of the Ulambana celebration, I led a group of disciples to offer incense to the Buddhas and make this vow: if I am allowed to live to the age of 100, I will burn my entire body as an offering to the Buddha in quest of the Supreme Way. All of the disciples present at the time made the same vow. Guoxun also made this vow. Disciple Guoxun vows that if the opportunity appears, I will imitate Bodhisattva Medicine King and burn my entire body as an offering to the Buddha. I will not wait until my 100th year before making this offering. Through my meditative contemplation, I knew that he made this vow in past lives as well, so I permitted him to make the same vow this time. On April 18, 1949, Guoxun felt that all in the world was impermanent and that Buddhism had grown decadent. His pain at seeing these two truths was bitter beyond words. His grief was indescribable. Thus he vowed to burn his body, to die for the sake of Buddhism. He gathered a pile of tinder, soaked it with oil, sat on top of it in the meditative posture, then burned himself. The next day, when news of the event reached the local people, everyone came out for a look. Guoxun's entire body had burned to ashes. Only his heart remained unburnt. The villagers respected him greatly, and they buried his ashes and heart in the place where he had given up his life.